We're talking about the body of Christ, and today we'll be talking, about several things, but largely about that it's by the gospel that we're in the body of Christ, by believing the gospel. So we have that pattern in front of us set up. We talked about it last time, and we'll be talking about it this time. The pattern that Christ started by saving Paul. Let's see, let me look in the text just a minute here. Not same you, we are different. Good time by it. Not same you, I'm not sure. I don't know what you mean by not same you. I found that such person are responsible for just self act, no baby for that. I don't understand. I'm sorry. If you can make it clearer, we can try and address it. I'm going to go ahead with the lesson. Stick around and ask your questions afterwards, please. I hope that this lesson will help you. But we have the pattern, and it's talked about in Scripture. It started with the Lord saving Paul, an unsavable person. So let's start by looking in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16, to see the pattern which Christ set up. The first person Christ saved by this pattern was an unforgivable person. He was unsavable by Israel's kingdom gospel, not savable into Israel's kingdom. That person was Saul of Tarsus. And let me just say, there's an assault out there to try and change the meaning of words, switch words around, try to make it look like this is not the truth. You're looking at it in the. You can look in your own Bible if you have a King James Bible. In fact, please do. Check it out. I'll be playing a response that I wrote it. I haven't sent it yet. I plan on sending it right after the meeting. Didn't have enough time earlier. But a response to some people that are claiming that there's a different gospel, that Christ died for sins is in the Old Testament, so our gospel is not new. Things like that. Welcome to the room. We're talking about the body of Christ. Saul and his group of leaders of disbelieving Israel at the time, they had blasphemed the Holy Ghost by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen while he was speaking the Holy Ghost's words to them. At the end of Acts 7, you can read that. That's when Israel fell. They broke that. They committed that unforgivable sin that the Lord had told them about in Matthew 12. So in 1 Timothy 1:15, we read, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul adds, "Of whom I am chief." Israel knew that their Messiah was coming into the world. They knew he was coming to save circumcised, law-keeping Israelites. That was their impression. They expected a kingdom in which they would rule the world, and they would lead the Gentiles to the Messiah. Zechariah 8:23. But Saul knew that now he was a condemned, unforgivable blasphemer of the Holy Ghost the moment he saw Jesus was actually alive. For a person like Saul, it was a fantastic revelation, understanding that, it was revolutionary too, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That was a big difference. I mean, we take it for granted. But it wasn't that way in Judaism, and all the way up till the time of Paul's salvation, it was not that way. Since that was unheard of, it was unknown before. And Paul adds, like we said before, of whom I am chief. Chief is the Greek word protos. Not trying to throw Greek at you or to change the text with the Greek or anything. Just want you to understand something when we get to the next verse. Protos is used again. And it helps define what he's talking about by chief here. It means foremost in place or order. It means the beginning. Paul was saying that he was the first one saved as a sinner instead of saved as a law keeper. So let's go on. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How be it, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Let me repeat part of that. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show. In me first is that word protos, of whom I am chief. So I'm the first, he's saying. And so we follow Christ's new pattern by believing on Christ to life everlasting. That's the new pattern. That's Christ's pattern that we are to follow. Let's look also in Romans 5, verse 6, to see that God is now in the business of saving sinners. Again, we see it. It was there. I mean, it's there. It's not a single reference that might be misunderstood or misinterpreted. It's over and over. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. You can't make yourself righteous enough for God. You can't be good enough for God. The only way to God today is to realize and admit that you are ungodly. And then you can realize that Christ died for the ungodly. He took your place, dying for your sins, your death for your sins. And that was Christ's new pattern of salvation, shown first in Saul of Tarsus. Later, Paul tells us that at that time, a few other things happened. So we have a list that we like to go through called Who You Are in Christ. And most of us have heard it. I'm not going to play it or recite it now, but it's, if you haven't heard it or read it, go through it. It's mind-boggling what God has done for us. But all those things happened to Paul at that moment. It was the first time all that had happened to anybody. Becoming an heir of God, becoming baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ, becoming the righteousness of God, being sealed, all these things. That's what, four things I mentioned, but there's over 70 things that happened at the moment he was saved. So that was the first time those things were attributed to people when they believed on the Lord Jesus. Believed on him, not just in him, not just believing he exists or that he died for sins. Salvation comes in believing on him, in trusting your case to him on the basis that he already paid your debt, that you are free. He frees you then. If you believe, if you say, no, I don't think it's enough, God wants me to be good too, you're saying, I reject your salvation. So receive it. One of those things we mentioned briefly, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all, and that's all the believers, according to Galatians 3:26, all those that have faith that Christ died for their sins. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Not into one lake or into one river. Not baptized into water, but baptized into one body. Paul's not talking about water baptism because after the end of Acts, he writes in Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, that there is one baptism. There's only one baptism left, at least today. Before Paul, you could find three baptisms in Matthew 3, verse 11 alone. Three baptisms. And here and now, today, there's only one. And this is it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. And have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And I like that word made. It's not all challenged to drink into one Spirit. We're all trying to. No. God makes it happen. Have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So now it's irrelevant for, you know, whether a person started as a Jew or as a Gentile. That's all irrelevant. We all have to come to God the same way, admitting we're a sinner. Christ saves sinners. Once we believe Paul's gospel of salvation, we're made part of that one body of Christ. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we're members together in that one body. And like was said in the message earlier, that makes us members of each other. It makes us joined, gives us fellowship together. You weren't before. Before you were saved, you weren't in the body of Christ, but now you are. So we're in the body by the Spirit baptism, not by grafting. That's erroneous thought there. There is a like a quarter of a chapter that's talking about grafting in Romans 11, but it's all past tense. It's those people that were in that situation before Paul came and preached to them. It's not, he never tells them try to be graft. You got to be grafted into the body to be a member of to be saved or anything like that. He doesn't say that's a way to be saved or to get into the body of Christ. In that whole passage, grafting is talking about Israel, not the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us, not into water, but into one body. And that happened to Paul. And that is part of the pattern that we're to follow. We don't have anything to do with that part. We do the believing, and God does the rest. He baptizes us into the one Spirit of God. The Spirit baptizes us into Christ, into the body of Christ. In Israel's baptism, Acts 2:33, Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost on the little flock. Having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost has now shed it upon us, which you see now. Peter says about the speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the Holy Ghost. It was Jesus Christ pouring it out on them. So they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Christ was the baptizer, though. Here, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is the baptizer. By one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body. So, the one body of Christ. Once you're saved, these other things are part of the pattern. And this pattern is new. These benefits were not there before. Jews that believed the kingdom gospel had not been imputed the righteousness of God. They still had to endure. They, in the tribulation, in that 70th week, they got the, and they will get the unction, the anointing. They will know the scriptures. They will know the law in their heart. They will have the power to endure to the end through all that tribulation. All that believe Paul's gospel get into the body the same way. There's no other way. There's no way into the body of Christ, but, you know, you can't get in by blessing Israel like they used to get into the kingdom. Gentiles could be blessed by God and be able to get into the future kingdom by blessing Israel. But that's gone. That doesn't work anymore because Israel is not a way to God. Israel is not God's people, and God said, I will not be their God for this time that we're in. So that does not enter anyone into the body of Christ anymore. There's no way into the body by grafting, which some people claim. That doesn't enter anyone into the body of Christ anymore. That whole thing is different. That's altogether different. That's on the other side of the right divide, rightly dividing it. That's in Israel, there's grafting. In fact, in the Bible, no one is ever told to be grafted into anything. There were some people who had been grafted into an olive tree that Paul refers to, but that was all in past tense. It was a past tense phenomena. It had happened already, and he was commenting on it. It wasn't something that they were to attempt to do. Paul did not say to be grafted into the olive tree. He did not say that it was a good thing. In fact, Paul told them how to come out of the olive tree and be saved into the body of Christ. So comparing spiritual things with spiritual, scripture with scripture, the scripture tells us what the olive tree is. And it was not the body of Christ. The doctrine mismatches with the body of Christ doctrine. So it can't be the body of Christ. Scripture tells us the olive tree is Israel. Take a look in Jeremiah. Welcome those that came into the room. Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. And if someone can post these verses, that'll help everyone to see it directly out of the Bible, what the Bible tells us. Here's how it reads, though. Jeremiah 11, starting with verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, talking about this olive tree, green olive tree, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. So did you get that? The Lord called thy name a green olive tree. He's talking to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the whole nation of Israel. And he says, thy name a green olive tree. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree. So it is Israel. It's a metaphor for Israel. Like the fig tree is in the fig tree parable. But these verses, Jeremiah 11:17 shows that the olive tree is both houses of Israel. It's all of Israel. So just in case someone tells you that they are grafted into the body, those verses show us that there is no way to be grafted into the body, and Paul never told anyone to be grafted into the body. So honestly, read it for yourself. Look at 11. This would be in Romans, where he does talk about briefly about the olive tree. Romans 11, verses 17 to 24. And you'll see that no one is told to be saved by being grafted into any olive tree. Those that were grafted, had been grafted into the olive tree, were not yet saved because they were still... They could still be removed from the olive tree. If you read on there, I think it's verses 21 and 22 in Romans 11. The olive tree doctrine badly mismatches the body of Christ doctrine. So they're not the same thing. The Bible didn't make any mistake there. It never made any mistake. The Bible is the one thing you can count on. So, going on, let's look in Ephesians 3, verse 6, and find out what is by the gospel here. And we'll start from there. Then the Gentiles should be fellow... That's Ephesians 3. Let me just read Ephesians 3, 5 first. Let me go back another verse. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. That secret that Christ had withheld until he revealed it to Paul. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, that's Paul, and the others with him, Timothy, Silas, Barnabas, and his apostles and prophets by the Spirit, made known to his apostles and prophets. So, and whenever it mentions the apostles before the prophets, it's talking about the body of Christ that started with the Apostle Paul, and then later you got the body of Christ prophets there in the churches, especially you read about them in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and in, I'm trying to think of other places, in Ephesians. But when you read about the prophets and apostles, with prophets first, that's the Old Testament prophets, long before the body of Christ started. Back in the Old Testament, you had the prophets. Then, when the kingdom was at hand and Christ had come on earth, then you got the 12 apostles. So the apostles followed the prophets in Israel. But in the body of Christ, the apostles preceded, came before the prophets. The apostles came before the prophets. So, Paul mentions in this verse that we just read in Ephesians 3:6, he mentions the same body. The same body is sometimes misunderstood to be something beyond what Paul is talking about. Israel's not mentioned anywhere in that context. You can read the whole third chapter and not find anything about Israel in there. He's talking about Gentiles, about the body of Christ, about God's doctrine for us. But Paul is not talking about the body of Christ being the same body as Israel. You just heard someone that thinks when he's talking about joined together in the body of Christ, that he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. That's not what it's saying in this passage. Jews were never mentioned. Israel's never mentioned. He's talking about the nigh Gentiles and the far off Gentiles that were mentioned in Ephesians 2 verses 13 to 17. So, and he follows with chapter 3 and talks about them and says that they're in the same body. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when Paul mentions the body of Christ is the same as something, he's talking about the body of Christ, that the body after the end of Acts is the same as the already existing body that he had written about earlier in Acts, in the Acts period. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he talked about the body of Christ. And in Romans 12, he talked about the body of Christ. So here, Paul is writing after the end of Acts when he writes Ephesians. And he's writing to saints like us, that people who had heard the gospel, who had not necessarily blessed Israel before its fall. There's nobody here over 2,000 years old. We have not had the opportunity to bless Israel, so we didn't. We can't come to God by having blessed Israel, and that way is closed now. We had not joined in attending synagogues to bless Israel. People who had been idol worshipers, that's the type of people we are. People that eat pork, that ignore the Sabbath. We weren't under the law, and we weren't trying to bless those that were under the law. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to people who were not in the Commonwealth of Israel at all. He writes to them and he says that you are of the same one body that already exists. Ephesians 3:6 again. That the Gentiles, that's these Gentiles that are coming in now, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. They shouldn't have to join some other body or be made into some other body. God makes them all one that believe the gospel that Paul preached. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. They're saved by the gospel, not by blessing Israel and enduring to the end. So that made... when God had this earthly agency to retake his authority on the earth, and it was called Israel. When they failed, God started this new pattern to retake his authority in heaven. He's populating the body of Christ to retake his authority in heaven. And God made different promises to us in the body of Christ than he made to Israel. God's promise to us is life. Look at these series of verses here that show that to us, to believers like us. Well, this is in 2 Timothy and Titus. Paul writing to two fellow workers, and in 2 Timothy 1:1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then in Titus 1:1, verses 1, 2, and 3 of Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Second verse, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Verse 3, and hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So it happened, but it wasn't until due time, till the time was right, that he manifested it or showed it, had it preached by Paul. So it's by the gospel, these later Gentiles that had not blessed Israel, yet they came into the same body by the gospel, not by the law, not by blessing Israel or some ritual or ceremony, not by some other means, not by doing more good things than bad, or whatever ideas people conjure up. They came in by the gospel. And it's an important thing. Find out what God actually said about your salvation, about what his gospel of salvation is today. We showed that, we showed it earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. But it's by the gospel, according to the word of God in Ephesians 3, 6, that we're coming into the same body, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So there was an existing body at the time Paul wrote Ephesians, after the end of Acts. And he writes to Ephesians after the end of Acts that he didn't meet in Acts. They're different Ephesians, different people in Ephesus, in the church there. People that had heard the gospel, but they hadn't blessed Israel. They heard from those elders going that went back to Ephesus after Paul had been sent to all people. And then Paul writes to them and he says that they're in the same body. And it's that body that we just read about that Paul was the first one to enter. So if you think of a stick man that you draw, you know, you draw a circle for his head, and then his torso and his two arms and two legs. Now, if you draw a line right under his chin, you still have a stick man, but now he has a head and a body, you know, separated or joined actually by the neck. But the whole thing is still the man. That's the way Christ is. 1 Corinthians 12:12. That's the way Christ is. Many members, one head. Christ has a head and a body, which has many parts. But we are all one body. And we're about to close here, but Paul was the first one to enter it when he received the gospel on the road to Damascus. See, it was by the gospel. At that point, there was one head and one person in the body of Christ. As, you know, the chief of sinners, the first one in, the chief, the head of the line, then it grew, and it's still growing. It was when Paul received the gospel that he was saved on the road to Damascus. And that was, you know, that was when he was baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ. Again, it's by the gospel. Okay, I'm done for tonight, and we'll pick up tomorrow, that's the plan, and go on from there.